Hello, hello, and welcome back to Minority Report's podcast and digital series. I'm your host, Mona Sheikh. Today, we have a fantastic guest with us today. He's been, we've been friends for a while, and, you know, he's also just a hilarious comic. This guy also was incredibly instrumental when I emceed the Women's March in San Francisco in 2019. He helped me write my speech so I don't look like a complete idiot in front of 60,000 people. Please welcome Jeremy Sepia. Jeremy, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey.
You're my homie, man. I've always been a fan of yours. You're such a funny guy, and you're a good guy. And we were just talking about how you're a good, sensitive, caring man. Can we announce that to the world? That you're like the least aggressive man I've ever met in my life?
That's not a good thing to say out loud.
Not at all. Are you kidding me? That's the greatest compliment in this woke culture that we live in. By the way, I'm a millennial too. I just found out yesterday. I was a little devastated.
Why?
I was like, because everybody talks so much shit about millennials. I was like, yeah, they're millennials. And I was like, oh shit, what? I'm a millennial.
Millennial is not a real thing.
What do you mean?
It literally means someone who's younger than you that gets on your nerves. That's what millennial means.
I don't know about that. Did you come up with this meaning?
It's the look. Millennium. I took Latin for 3 years.
Okay.
So millennium means 1,000 years. Do you know anybody who's lived 1,000 years yet?
No.
Oh, okay.
Moses?
So it's,
I don't know.
Huh?
Moses? Did Moses live 1,000 years?
I don't know. 1,000 years. But they use it to describe people who were who were around during the year 2000.
Yeah.
Because that was a millennium.
Yeah.
But it would only make sense to me if people who were literally born the year 2000. That's it. We weren't born the year 2000. We were alive the year 2000, but we all were alive around the year 2000. So that doesn't make sense.
That's true.
You know what I'm
saying? Well, the whole thing about, you know, they have to name every generation, right? There's like the boomer generation. There's the Gen X. There's the millennials. There's the zillennials now. That's the other generation that's after us. There's all these different names, the 20-year age span.
Well, at least with the boomer generation, it was based upon the war. That has a definite year beginning and when it ended.
Yeah.
And these people were born in this generation, but everybody else, this is one of the things of all things to be split up and classified by. That's the worst to generations. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense. It's just, my mother says all the time, your generation. I'm like, you're alive too. It's your generation. Matter of fact, she's on TikTok and I'm not. Whose generation is it?
Wow. Is she now? Is she on TikTok? Is she killing it on TikTok?
I don't know. I'm not on TikTok.
Dude, I want to follow your mom on TikTok. I like TikTok. I've been watching J-Lo and Alex Rodriguez's TikTok. It's so good.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. No, you're not a TikTok. TikTok is the new frontier. As a comic, you should absolutely. I would highly encourage you to get on TikTok.
Yeah, that's what everybody says. I think Instagram is having more restrictions nowadays, and it's kind of, you know, they're kind of gotten away from likes and just, you know, they kind of buckled down. So TikTok is more of the free market now.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I know I made the intro about you being the person that helped me co-write my, you know, when I emceed the Women's March speech, and you were so wonderful. And I what I loved about our writing process is that you and I are both pretty edgy comics, and we both definitely like to push the envelope. And it was interesting that in our dynamic, as we were writing it, I somehow ended up becoming like this non-edgy comic. And I was like, oh no, I don't want to offend anybody. I wouldn't be like all proper. And you were like, no, push the envelope, Mona. Let's, you know, what was that? One of them was like a beard. I learned what a beard is from you. I didn't even know what a beard was. You taught me what a beard was. For the world who doesn't know what a beard is, Jeremy, take it away.
Okay. First and foremost, I would like to state that I'm not a beard expert. I just was
somebody taught me,
and I passed on the information. I don't want it to seem like I'm the beardologist, but basically, A beard is, say, if for a homosexual person who they're not totally out of the closet. Or
male,
whatever.
Males only, though, right?
Yeah, I guess so. There might be a term for the female version of it that I'm not thinking of right now, but I think it can go both ways.
Yeah,
terminology wise, but yeah, it just basically means if they either date someone, if they appear to date someone of the opposite sex,
yeah,
to keep the disguise up of them, you know, being homosexual.
Yeah,
but either that or just a friend who is around them pretty often, because you don't have to actually be in a relationship or even pretend to be in a relationship.
Mm.
But if it's just somebody who's around a lot. You know what I mean? Like, say, if you, even as a woman, if you have a gay friend and you're like around them all the time,
yeah,
then you can appear, you appear to be their beard. Whatever.
Oh, I'm such a beard. But you know, I don't think. No, that's not true. My friends are, all my gay friends are out, so it doesn't even that doesn't even apply. I have.
But even to the outside, even to the outside world, even if somebody's not totally out, like, if you know, if it's debatable.
Yeah,
and they're around you, then it's, you know, you still technically considered a beard. I would think.
Yeah. I have so many gay male friends. I was just sitting down one day and I was just like, I have at least 7 to 8 gay male friends that I'm like pretty close and pretty tight with. And I was like, that really proves a lot that there's a gay man inside this body that just hasn't really come out yet properly. Like, there must be a gay man inside this body. Because I'm so attracted. I'm just bring all these gay men into my life. And I love having them. And they enhance my life in every single way. What?
Well, there,
no?
There's no gay man in this body.
Is there a gay woman in that body?
There's no gay women in this body.
No just, gay women in the body.
There's
okay.
only one
okay.
occupant in this Got body.
It. Got it.
As far as pushing the envelope and stuff like that, the thing is, when it comes to speeches of all types, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't, you know, I always say, like, I can do clean, but I'm a controversial comic. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because you push the envelope. You push the envelope.
Yeah, but I think it's important. I mean, whether you're, you know what I mean? You look at the president we have right now. From funerals to churches, to church events, stuff like that, it's a good way to wake up your audience and keep them engaged.
Yeah.
It's like if an environment draws a line,
mm-hmm.
the skill set is being able to ride the line and not cross it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's why we are hired to do what we do. You know what I'm saying? Like, because if you give a dry, boring speech, then you're whack. You know what I'm saying? Nobody, you know, but people make they make these rules and draw these lines thinking that you can't handle it, or thinking that, you know, like, oh, I just want to keep things safe. But I ride the line. I'm always going to ride the line.
Yeah.
You know I mean, sometimes I do cross the line, and sometimes I'm not, you know, entertaining enough.
Yeah.
But best believe for sure. Yeah. That's the goal, is to ride the line all the way.
Yeah.
You know, I only rock with people who do that. And that's why I rock with you.
That, listen, you and I, you know, we're homies like that. What I want to know is, where do you think that comes from? This, I would say it's a need. It's definitely a need in me. Would you say it's a need in you to kind of push that envelope? And where does that come from?
Once again, society is, you know, they always move the line. The line changes, you know what I mean? Based upon, it's an art in itself, you know what I mean? And that's what attracted me to comedy. I always say all the time, I'm not a clown. I'm not that silly. I wasn't the, you know, I'm born a comedian like those people. I'm not one of, you know, I wasn't a class clown or anything like that.
Yeah.
I just, when it comes to society, you know, it's an ever evolving thing. And, you know, when people make, you know, when they say too soon for a joke and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
People don't even know what that means anymore. They don't even realize what they say. It's just texture on a conversation that, you know, it's like, but what it is being able to keep up with what's, you know, what's actually happening to our language in real time.
Mm.
We don't know where a lot of these terms come from. We just accept it as part of reality. But if you question somebody on it, they buckle. Like, for example, the term bootlegging, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, that's bootleg. You know what I mean? What does bootleg mean? It means, you know, something is broken or just, you know, cheaper it's, goods, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But if you explain, most people use this type of terminology, you know, in our modern day society to describe things. But if you ask them, where did that come from?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They'd be like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's where that need to ride the line is, where you can play with the idea that we all know that you don't know what that means.
we can play with the idea that you don't know what it means. Is that what you mean?
Well, that the common person doesn't know. Like, if I know that you don't know what that means, so I can have a field day with you.
Got it.
And that's with anything in society. Like the term millennial. People use this term, and they don't know what it means. It means nothing. It's not based on anything. What's a millennial?
I would agree. Look, nothing in life means anything unless the meaning you put on it, right? Nothing in life means anything.
Not true. Things can have meanings, like boots or shoes.
Right, but there was a meaning put on it, like, hey, some person when we evolved from the caveman life to the actual civilized world, you know, somebody was like, hey, the fucking rocks on my feet hurt like a motherfucker. I think I need something to protect my feet. It's like, yeah, let's get some shoes. Like, what are we going to call this? We're going to call it shoes. And in different countries and in different languages, it means different things. But the concept is exactly the same. I mean, let me ask you this. What is your most controversial joke you've ever told? And just divided the room immediately, where you're just like, you got your applause breaks and then you got your booze. Like, what was that joke, if you want to share that?
I don't know. It changes because what people consider controversial at the time, you know, changes. I'll tell you what I'm talking about right now, which is like my favorite. I was at the Kobe Memorial and I was sad. I really was there.
Yeah.
It was really sad. But I said, you know what's sadder than that? All this terrible Kobe fan art around town. Like, nobody can draw Kobe right, apparently. I don't know why. Why people, you guys are ruining his legacy by trying to draw him. Like, this is bad. They're tearing up LA with terrible graffiti Kobe art. Some people are good. Don't get me wrong. Yes. Some people are great.
Yeah.
Some people are awful. I saw this one billboard.
Yes.
It looked like it was supposed to be Kobe and his daughter end up being Shaq and a bunny.
Oh, my goodness. That's horrible. I saw this one. One of the comedians posted it. I fell off my chair. It said, you made Kobe look like a puppy monkey, like a mixture between a dog and, you know, like, and it was just like this weird mix of like a creature. It wasn't even Kobe. Like, they tried to, and they just called it Kobe. It's like, that's not Kobe, man. That's not Kobe at all. Like, what did you do to Kobe? Like, this is, but I agree with you. There's a huge mural right up on my block. I'm by Melrose and Fairfax. Mm-hmm. This huge mural, and they did a fantastic job with it. They did a really, really good job. It's like it's really nice.
Yeah, like I said, it's for the ones that look beautiful, that's great. I think it's hats off to them. Some people are real artists, and some people are practicing.
Yeah.
And now's not the time to practice.
Now is definitely not the time to practice. Oh, by the way, and just
because Kobe was good at practicing doesn't mean you need to practice on his face.
Exactly. So,
and some people need to know the difference when it comes to black crayons.
Yes.
And colors.
Yes.
We're not all the same shade.
Agreed.
Everybody's not me on the crayon scale.
That is correct. I agree. There's many shades of black, too. There's many shades of black. There's like a spectrum, right? There's many shades of brown, many shades of black. Like, you know, come on. There's even many shades of white. Like, some people are translucent, and some people, white people, can actually tan and not burn. There's like fucking shades, the spectrum of this shit, you know? And by the way, before fucking people come down on me like the wrath of hell because of about the puppy monkey thing. By the way, that was posted by my friend Brooklyn Jones, who's a very funny black comic, actually. Black gay comic. I book her all the time because I fucking love her to pieces. And she posted it, and I was like, I laughed at it first, and I just it just hit me in this moment in the woke culture that we live in. I was like, fuck, somebody's going to listen to that and be like, Mona, that's racist. You can't say monkey. I was just like, yeah, but that I didn't even come up with that. She wrote that. And then I saw it and I was like, fuck, she's so right. That's exactly what they fucking painted him to be. But I wasn't even thinking in race terms. I was thinking of what the fuck he was resembling, which he resembled nothing like Kobe. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
It says, you pretty much said, please direct all your hate mail to Brooklyn Jones, not me, please.
No, my girl Brooklyn's great. She's so great. I love her to pieces. She's so great. Man, what I mean, that whole thing about, you know, Kobe passing, 2020 is starting off rough. Would you agree? It's fucking rough, man.
Yeah, I seen one meme that had, because, you know, pretty much towards the end of the year, they'd be like, I wish 2019 just be over with. And now they said they had a meme. 2019 looking like your ex, like, yeah, you thought you could do better, huh?
Yes. Oh my God, dude, 2020 is rough. Like, you know, just Kobe passing and the little girl and all those innocent people that died. I mean, my God. So you were there when the memorial happened. I mean, how much was it? Did you have to sell your kidney to be there? I mean, it was expensive, wasn't it?
No. My girlfriend actually lives not too far from downtown L.A., so I was actually over there.
Yeah.
We actually went down for the Fit Expo. They had a Fit Expo the same day. So,
yeah,
you know, everybody was just down there. And then also I worked a couple of events. So it just happened to be.
You're talking about the one on February 24th, right?
Yeah.
Got it.
Oh, no. Sorry. Oh. Sorry. When it first happened, we went down there. The other one, actually, that's why I say I worked the Tony Robbins event, too. So not that it matters. But yeah, it just happened to be.
Are you a Tony Robbins fan?
No, I'm not.
how you working? So you're just working there. It's a paycheck. I get it.
It's a bit. I do, you know, production stuff.
Got it. I'm a big fan of Tony Robbins. Ugh, he changed my life.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he changed my life. He really did.
I should give you. Hold on, I got one of those coins that he wears. I should give it to you.
Oh shit! I want the coin. Okay, next time I'm in LA, and like you need to. Yeah, I want to get that. I'm a big fan of Tony. I mean, my oldest brother became a multimillionaire following Tony's,
you know. Oh wow.
Yeah.
He's... Okay, you know what? I changed it. I'm a fan now.
Now he is. Yeah, I mean, for me, what Tony did for me, like on the personal growth level, is just incredible. I did his personal power. I didn't go to the actual, you know, the big conferences that he does, but I did it at home. I don't need motivation. I'm plenty fucking motivated. I'm an immigrant that needs to survive, so I'm plenty fucking motivated. But no, I did that, and it, like, legit, man, it just changed my life. It helped me discover stand-up comedy. It helped me, you know, become the person that I am today. So I'm a big fan of Tony Robbins. I know a lot of people think he's a shyster or, you know, he's a motivational speaker, which he's not. I personally think he's a brilliant therapist. Yeah. That's what he is, a brilliant psychologist. Am I boring the shit out of you right now, Jeremy?
No. Yawn to release oxygen. Continue.
Really? That's just you who's releasing oxygen. Nobody else is doing. I mean, you know what?
You
know about yawning, right? Like yawning, when you see a person yawn and the other person yawns, it's in like an effect. It's a psychological thing. Did you know about this?
Yeah. I said release oxygen. It's release carbon, something like that. I was looking.
Yeah, you want the oxygen. You want to release the carbon. That's what you want to do. So what's going on? What projects are you working on? You're touring. How's coronavirus affecting you? Talk to me.
I'm about to say, man, right now, we're going through like a reboot phase. I mean,
ridiculous right now.
I just got back from grocery shopping, you know, pretty much just stocking up because, plan on being in for the next, I guess, week. I don't know. I'm not even scared of Corona. I'm scared of stupid people. So at this point, I mean, it's like this is the best disease ever. It's something that keeps all the stupid people in the house. So it's perfect.
That is true. You know what my fear is, though? That stupid people are going to stay at home and they're going to procreate and make more stupid people. That's even a bigger concern.
Well, that's already happening. You can't stop that. But I'd say at least you get a break. You get a vacation from them for a little bit.
That's true. My neighbor wrote like a group text to all the neighbors that because we all like keep an eye out for each other. And he was like, my friend who's a military guy higher up said that you know, they're going to shut down grocery stores in another week or two, and the grocery store is going to be shut for a week because of the whole because the pandemic is going to increase so much. So he was like, go out and shop and everything. And I'm like, you know, what I don't understand, what's the need with the toilet paper? How many shits are you taking that you need to, how much ass wiping do you need? How much fucking toilet paper? Are you eating this shit? Are you sleeping? Yeah. What are you doing?
It might be a genius marketing scheme. But what's funny about toilet paper is that, hey, if you're home, you might just want to wash your ass. Why not, right? Start, I mean, you know.
That's
you,
what
you,
I grew up right with. There. Yeah, yeah.
So notice, all the toilet paper's gone, but all the soap is still sticking around. That's the problem with America.
All the soap is sticking around.
Plenty of soap. Plenty of soap and water.
Right? And people, by the way, hand sanitizers, you can't find hand sanitizer. What about the fucking soap? How about just good old washing your hands?
Yeah, people don't want to do that. You know what I mean? It's nasty ass people.
It's so disgusting. I'm like, why did it take a fucking pandemic for people to be like, I gotta wash my hands?
You know what's crazy is that the flu is still worse than the coronavirus. The flu is still out here. It's still, it's taking more people. Like, literally, I think you're talking about coronavirus, supposed, I think it's like 40, I think it was like 4,000 people, something like that, maybe 4,500.
Yeah. Over 100,000 people around the world have been affected by it thus far.
Yeah. The flu is 19,000 deaths so far.
Wow.
So it's global? Like the flu is... Huh?
Global or U.S.?
I'm not sure. I think it's U.S. numbers, but regardless, the flu is the, you know, like, it's just kind of funny how media and propaganda affects the world directly. Like, people are running in house over. If you would have told people the flu is doing this to people, they wouldn't care. But the coronavirus, since it's a new thing that they never heard of, you know what I mean? And they're tripping over. So, look, I'll play the game, whatever. You know what I mean? It's a little fun. This is a drill for what would happen if the world was ending.
That's
so
right.
You have to literally look at it. So
honestly,
you know, I still say take all the precautions.
Yep. I agree with you. I honestly feel this is just the Chinese government flexing. They're just flexing, man. They're just like, look, this is the kind of control we got. This is what we got. Yeah. Like, you wanna come and fuck with us about tariffs, and you want us to pay all kinds of tariffs and all shit like that? We're gonna fucking flex. Is what the fuck we're gonna do. This is how we flex on you, you know? I mean, not to be like, I know I was talking about it before in previous episodes about being not to be a conspiracy theorist, but I just genuinely believe that this is something that they've been sitting on for a while, and just it was just going to be released at the right time to basically see. This is like, it almost feels like an experiment. It feels like an experiment on the global market. I mean, like, you know, as sophisticated and as evolved as human beings have gotten and become, fear is the dominant factor in all of it. I don't give a fuck how sophisticated we get as humans. Fear is the one that's driving the markets. I mean, the markets are tanking since 2000. I mean, how many points did Dow drop? I mean, it's alarming. It's alarming how fear is such a huge factor that no matter how fucking sophisticated we get as human beings, we're still having like fear drive us because, oh my God, fucking coronavirus. And by the way, 60 to 70% of people, which the media is not really talking about, have recovered and are perfectly fine. The 30% are probably quarantined. 2% have died. And the people who have died had no immune system, were older or suffering. And I'm not saying that that's okay. And, you know, that's terrible that these people are passing and then they're being affected this way. But the magnitude of the way they've fucking blown the shit up, to me, it feels like an experiment. Does it feel like an experiment to you?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say experiment. I think the main reason why is because I feel like as far as trials and tests and experiments go, I feel like that's like a constant thing. Like, that's always happening, you know. I mean, as far as like introducing, you know, goods to the market and seeing how we react to them. I mean, from soda to cereal, I mean, you know, they kind of got us on that one. But I would say, you talk about fear. People fear. They fear things they don't understand, and I think it's driving certain businesses monetarily. Mm. You know, I don't know to what. I don't think that it's as much as I want to give the government, you know, credit. I don't think that they have they only can predict so much. You know what I'm saying? It's only so many steps ahead, not 15 steps ahead. You know, if they really could predict things further out, they would make smarter moves. You know, we went to war for oil, but if they really was about that life, they would have gotten rid of oil altogether a long time ago. And, you know, it was, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like, it's only to drive money. I think that's what it really is.
All of it is.
And, you know, with this crisis, people are going, like you said, they're going to grocery stores and buying up everything.
Yep.
They're telling people that this grocery store is going to shut down. They might shut down. It might not. But either way, you know, if let's just say if the grocery stores were in the, you know, red area, but now they're back in the black now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're doing well. I mean, Target's selling out of stuff. You know,
yep.
if you Procter & Gamble and toilet paper for some reason, people weren't washing their ass,
yep.
wiping their ass enough. You know, I mean, it's putting a lot of companies in a good position.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you know what
it
I mean?
Does.
I look at the money of it more than the social experiment part of it. Just yeah. me personally.
I mean, I'm saying social experiment because it's tied in with the money. You know, it's mm-hmm. it's that top 1% that calls the shots, that owns most of the wealth in the world. You know, I'm talking about those motherfuckers. They don't give a fuck about people like you and me. They don't care. Yeah. They're thinking about like the top 1%. Like, how can we suck even more blood out of these people? How can we suck even more of the fucking like little money that they have? So we are like completely in control. Oops, we are completely in control, and we call the shots and everything. Sorry, I'm just like getting I'm spiraling down into the world of conspiracy theory over here.
I mean, you could be right though. I mean, as far as I go, you know, it's like I said, I don't really have that much faith in the American government knowing what's best for the common folk.
Yeah.
So I mean, they could be toying with our lives like lab rats. I mean, like I said, I definitely believe they're doing it in other ways. But with this one, I just think I just don't think they're as smart as they're pretending to be. I mean, like I wish they were a little smarter.
Yeah.
Well,
Trump is, you know, I don't know if you've read the news today about Trump talking about how, you know, it's a hot mess. It's a hot mess in the White House where, you know, basically if you're working at the White House, people don't know what the instructions are. Do we work from home? Do we come in, you know, do we come into the office and work? Like, there's no clear instructions, and he doesn't give a shit. He's going to get on Air Force One and, you know, and go get peed on by some Russian hookers. Like, who, you know, nobody fucking knows. That's his.
See, and that ties into the idea of them not knowing what the fuck they're doing. So,
yeah.
You know what I mean, like I said, as much as I like to think that, you know, that this is all a scam, you know, planned ahead. If America was that smart, then I could believe that. But they're, you know, the way the government operates, you know, I mean, I'm not saying I know everything,
yeah.
but I know when shit's fucked up,
yeah.
I can tell when things don't go according to plan.
Yeah.
So that's why I say I see more of that than the other side of it.
Yeah, of course. Now, I want to talk about. We're stand-up comics. We are edgy comics, so we are a lot more susceptible to the cancel culture and the woke culture. What is your, you know, have you experienced shit because you, you know, push the envelope? You make controversial, you know, talk about controversial stuff on stage. I mean, I've definitely gotten shit for it, but what has your experience been? What do you think of the woke culture? What do you think of the cancel culture? What are your thoughts, man? Not to put you on the spot or anything, Jeremy.
No, it's not. I love being on the spot. It's not a big deal. It's not I think every game has its rules, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But you have to play the game for it to affect you. That I'm not playing the cancel culture game, so it's not really affecting me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the whole idea behind cancel culture, I'm not against it, but once again, because I don't really have a dog in the fight, it's the whole idea that if you say something that you know, society disagrees with, they strip things from you. You know what I'm saying? But I don't really have much to strip from me. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, so it's not really, like, I could say what I want, you know what I mean? Regardless.
Strip from you because if you were in a position where you had your own TV show or you had, then they would have more to take from you versus where you are right now. Is that what you mean?
Well, but also with that being said, I don't think it's the most negative thing in the world. I mean, it's like, you know, people like to scream freedom of speech, but I also like to say freedom of accountability as well. I mean, you can say whatever you want as long as you take the heat that comes with it. I don't know why people feel like they can say things and, you know, and when they get heat, they'd be like, oh, well, I was just a joke or blah, blah, blah. It's like, nah, that's the whole point.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I ride the line. I live there. Yeah. I live on the edge when it comes to what I say. I say shocking things, but not for the sake of shock, for the sake of a life, really, because I just feel like, okay, our culture changes and grows and evolves on a daily basis. What was cool before is not cool now. What's not cool becomes cool. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's just how life works. I like that. I like the irony that comes along with language and culture and all that stuff.
Yeah.
That people operate from a sense of right and wrong culture when there's no such thing as right and wrong culture. The only thing that dictates the lines as far as right and wrong culture is killing people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But everything else is almost fair game. It just depends on where you are and where you are, how you grew up, and where you're trying to get to. Because, you know, like, as far as like wearing pants in society, like the reason why you got to wear clothes is because society dictates so. But if you were in a culture where you didn't have to wear as many clothes or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, I grew up, you know, the whole, pull your pants up. You know what I mean? But it was like, you know, but that's just pants aren't designed to really be worn a specific way all the time. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, you know, that's how, things evolve. But it's like, what if you're trying to get a job in a certain environment, let's say you're trying to work at a bank, you can't dress a certain way.
That's right.
But if you're trying to be a rapper or entertainer,
that's right.
You know what I'm saying? It's just, I understand the lines.
Yeah.
When the line is drawn, that's what I love. That's what I perfect. That's what I understand. That's a hobby of mine.
Yeah.
Most people, that's not their hobby. They don't understand. So when they get caught, you know, with their pants down, just for the metaphor sake, they got their pants down, they're shocked by it. How could you, you know, why do I have to conform? Why do I have to apologize? I shouldn't have to do this. Mm-hmm. When actuality is like, you should understand where, you know what I mean? Like that.
Understand the context that you're in or the environment that you're in.
Yeah. And that's why fire is hot to burn you. Like if fire wasn't hot, you wouldn't understand that. If pain wasn't associated with the heat from the fire, then you wouldn't understand that if you keep your hand there, you won't have a hand in 5 minutes.
Right. Right.
You know what I'm saying? Absolutely. So that's the part I do like about cancel culture. But once again, when I say part of playing the game, a lot of these people, they will tear down somebody for not believing what they believe in. Mm-hmm. They get surprised when somebody tears them down for them not believing something that they're not into.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's creating this weird level of accountability.
Mm-hmm. You
know?
I mean,
and I'm not scared of it. Oh, me personally.
Listen, I like that a lot. I'm definitely getting a lot more accepting of the fact that, you know, not everybody's going to like you and it's okay. Like, you got to find your people. You got to find your tribe. Like, that's what it's about. Like, not everybody's, I don't like everybody. I shouldn't expect everybody to like me. Like, it's just not a realistic thing to do. And by the way, you grew up with the pull your pants up culture. I grew up with the pull your burqa down culture. So that's what I grew up with. Pull your burqa down. I didn't grow up with the burqa. It was just emotional oppression, but just good old trauma. Just good old thing right there. I just feel like, you know, I've noticed that when I do ethnic jokes for my people, as in like South Asians or Muslims, you know, and even with them, it's just like the moment I get on the critical side of the culture or the critical side of the religion or anything like that, people begin to lose their shit. Like they begin to get upset. I did a show last year in Orange County. I had my show in OC, which you did, didn't you? You did the OC show, didn't you? Yeah. Oh, you have the flyer there. Yeah, you did Orange.
Was it this one?
Yeah, yeah, that's the one. That's the one you did. Yeah.
Oh, we did this. Okay.
Yeah, you did the one. All right. So I did the show last year. I think it was in January, and we had about we had a sold out show. We had over 300, close to 300 people show up for the show. Yeah, we packed the room out. Right, it was great. LA Times came and gave us this incredible write up. It was amazing. We did really well, and it was a Desi Girls. Desi's a slang way of saying South Asian, so it was all South Asian women.
Oh, I'm familiar. I had a couple of Desi girls.
Yeah, Desi girl. Okay, all right. you're like, I know a few Desi. I've had a few. Okay, I see, Jeremy.
Yeah, okay.
I see, man. Just don't let your girlfriend know that. But I did that show, and I was making a joke. I do this joke about, and this is a true story. When I was 11 years old, I performed the Holy Pilgrimage, and you have to go to Saudi Arabia for it if you're Muslim, and you go to Mecca. And I ended up shitting my pants when I was 11. And I do this whole bit about like how intense the whole process is, and they don't tell you. And then I ended up shitting my pants, and I just didn't know what to do. And I'm 11 years old. And I did this, and these Pakistani aunties went like. By the way, 99% of the crowd was with me. This 1% of these angry aunties that. The uncles probably don't even fuck them anymore. Just a bunch of miserable bitches. Okay? They probably just don't get laid anymore. They went and talked so much shit that, like, oh, I was so offended that you talked about the religion, about, you know, like, shitting your pants. I was like, I wasn't even talking about the religion. I was talking about shitting my pants. Like, I was like, bitch, you never shit your pants? Like, get the fuck out of here right now. And for me, like... Yeah. You know, I right now I know that white people are getting a lot of shit, and you know the cancel culture is like, you know, you say one wrong thing and you're fucking out. But I feel like in the ethnic culture, and especially I would speak for my culture and my, you know, the South Asian and the Muslim and the Middle Eastern, you know, we are like the new kids on the block, where, you know, we're like the first generation of to come up and talk, you know, be stand-up comics or be artists and, you know, give this kind of critical point of view of our own culture and of our own like stuff. But our people are very, very sensitive when it comes to criticism. Do you experience that, you know, in the Black culture? Do you experience that?
But let's broaden it so it can make sense.
Yeah.
It's not about whether I experience it in the Black culture. Mm. It's more about, see, you just said it. You're new kids on the block. You're bringing this new thing to your people. I mean, yeah, you take the bullets, but if you do this enough and you get more people... The people that are with you, there's more of those people, more people getting the wave, you're literally uplifting the consciousness of the culture. So people aren't as shocked. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You talk about, now if you want to talk about Black culture, I mean, come on. I mean, you talk about Black culture and arts. I mean, that's the most American thing that you can. I mean, I think if you could boil down America in a nutshell, I think that's what it would be when it comes to the civil rights movement, or just Black people fighting for rights and acknowledgement, the things that were taboo, become like, you know, but enough people have to stand up and say something about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, when it comes to like, you know, slavery or whatever, you know, that was legal at one point.
That's right.
That was the norm.
That's right.
That was the cash in this country.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But enough people spoke out about it. Like, think about it. If a slave was like, I want to be free, you shouldn't talk like that in here. Like, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? But, so that's what it's important to keep telling your shit stories, your stories about you shitting on yourself in front of your people. Because enough of the people, like you said, have you ever shit on yourself?
Yeah.
Right? Eventually, if enough people go, I have shit on myself.
Right.
Then it ruins the taboo of that. And now you can move the culture forward where people feel like, they have an identity. They don't feel like they have to be quiet about certain things.
That's right.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not, You know what I mean? Like, if you are scared of cancel culture, you should be.
Yeah. Oh.
That's it. You should be.
Why should you? Why do you say that?
Because, man, it's nothing to fear but fear itself. You got something to hide, then you should keep it hidden.
Yes. I agree with you.
I'm scared. This is what I do. This is my shit right here. This area, this space between these two hands is my shit.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm legit with you. You know, one of the things that I when I moved, like, you know this, when I moved from Pakistan, I was 15, and I've talked about this quite a lot. But one of the things that I really noticed, because I went to an inner city school, so all my classmates were blacks, Latinos. You know, those were all my classmates. I didn't even really have white kids. I grew up in the black and Latino culture. Like that's mostly the Americana that I related with and that I grew up in and that I'm very familiar with. But I think one of the things I think as South Asians that, and I think even Middle Eastern people, we don't acknowledge, is that if it wasn't for the struggles of African Americans, immigrants like myself would not have the room and the space to come and grow and make a life for ourselves if it wasn't for the sacrifices of the blacks in America. I really believe that.
I don't like
this is not pandering, by the way. This is, I know some people will be like, you're pandering. This is not pandering.
No. I don't like to mix struggles, because I mean, I don't know. I feel like when you talk, if you do the, if it wasn't for this, it would be that. I mean, you know, you could do a lot of that. I think as far as, you know, you can go as far back as possible when it comes to that. But I'll say the advantages when I think I hate to say it like this, but in a distracting way, I don't know exactly when, you know, they allowed certain people, certain demographics of people to come and affect the market. But I will say that, when it comes to black people, I think in America, I think people kind of forget that black people are American.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So they're not necessarily immigrants, you know what I'm saying? As opposed
That's
to
right. That's
African,
right.
African people, you know what I mean? Second and third generation African people,
yes.
They're still me, African. And, you know, I mean, I don't, you know, when it comes to even like Native American people, those are American people.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
But certain people who come over here and they're second, third generation, mm-hmm. you know, I feel like they have their own fight. I think the term people of color sometimes can confuse that. But I do think in certain facets does help for sure. But I just, when it comes to, there's laws that help benefit immigrants,
yeah.
That don't apply to black people, make it clear,
yeah.
On what, but I will say, as far as fighting for civil rights and acknowledging, you know, people are equal, because I don't even really believe in equal rights, but I feel like when we have to say certain things in order for the white people who were in charge of this country at the time to be like, oh, that's right, they're people too.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So,
right. They're also living, breathing humans who, you know, have the same bodily functions as I do. Jeez, really? Right. Have the same needs as me. Really?
So I think in that aspect, you know, they're black people, black Americans took a lot of, bullets, you know, ahead of other cultures. But I think other cultures fight, you know, is just as powerful, is just as strong. And I think that's what makes America, amazing, is that, it is this place where people come from wherever they're from, whatever oppressive state that they were in, and they can, you know, make their own based upon other merits other than just their race or whatever, or just their, you know, their situation.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the good part about America. Not, I don't see a lot of positive things about America. I'll let you know right now.
This is what what are the two good things that you say about America? Man, I think, you know, for me, it's like I'm an immigrant, right? I'm not even first generation. I'm a straight up immigrant. Like I moved it, you know, and for me, you know, there are so many great qualities for me. I mean, the way you experience America is so different the way I experience America. Like, I think for me, it's like, you know, we growing up for us, America was this magical land, you know, where, you know, we didn't know anything about like America, you know, had this horrible history of slavery. We didn't know that. It's not until I came here and started reading the history books, and even the history books, they hide that shit, right? They don't even tell you the full story and the just the horrific things that happened to, you know, to the Black community here. Like, they don't even delve into that. And I think, yeah, like, when I watched 12 Years a Slave, right, I couldn't watch it. I literally had to break it up in 3 days. It was too much. It was too much to know, like, wow, this is like, you're talking about like generational trauma. This is like passed on into people's genes, you know? I mean, how long will it, like they're talking about, you know, Holocaust survivors and you know how trauma is passed on to their, you know, descendants. And I'm like, holy shit, like how much trauma are we talking here that is passed on to descendants? And how long will it take to get it out of your system, you know, where you're just like, fuck, that was fucking millions of years ago that happened to my people. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, but I think the biggest misconception when it comes to slavery and all that stuff is they make it like it's a Black American issue. It's not a Black American issue. That's American. That's United. That's the USA. This country was built off the work of slaves.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? That was the just the same way you understand. We fought a war over oil, right?
Yep.
The war was over oil.
Yeah.
Back then, the war was over slaves.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was the money. That was the resource.
Yeah.
We like to tie it to Black people, right? And look, I accept the at least the conversational benefits of, oh, you feel sorry for me? Okay, thank you. Give me an extra burrito. I don't know what the fuck. You know what I'm saying? But
let me get that extra, the guac at Chipotle. The guac at Chipotle. Whatever. Dude, Black people should not be paying for that. I'm just saying that right
whatever.
Now.
But that's not the truth. I mean, if we're really trying to make some progress and understand the mistakes of the past, you have to understand that it's an American thing. I mean, they love to separate it as if it's just some thing that some evil people did. It's literally the birth of our economy. And from literally coming over here from Britain all the way to what's going on in the world right now, you know, the slave trade, just like the railroad system, just like all these other things that affect our economy on a global scale, you know, you talk about import, exporting, you know, goods and services, stuff like that. That's, you know, all that's tied in there. So when you talk about slavery, you're talking about the history of America. So to omit that is like omitting the flag. I mean, it's literally part of the history, and it benefits all people of all cultures to understand how gruesome slavery really was.
Yes.
'Cause it did not just affect Black people in America. That would be stupid. It affected the globe. You know what I'm saying?
That's
on
right.
How the perception of America is and how they make money, and the reason why we had the Civil War, you know, because a lot of landowners didn't want to give up their slaves because slavery was money. Legit dollars. That was the currency.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Free workers?
It should actually be Black people on the money, because back then they didn't have dollar bills. They had how many slaves do you own?
That's right.
That shows your wealth.
That's right. By the way, speaking of talking about Black people on money, did you see the controversy about Harriet Tubman on, was it a MasterCard or was it Visa card? And they put
doing the Wakanda.
Stop it.
That's why I'm big on separating the identity of Black Americans from Africans. The reason why it's important is because Africans are still immigrants. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's not the case with Black Americans. Black Americans were stripped of their identity. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes.
That, you know what I mean? That's why white people don't like being associated with whiteness. They're like, oh, I'm Irish or I'm Jewish or whatever the fuck. Yeah. I'm like, this isn't a country thing.
That's
because
right.
I don't get to be from Kenya.
That's
you know what I mean? I don't have a... Somebody asked me, what's your country of origin? I said, Cincinnati, Ohio.
That's a state.
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah.
That's
sure.
a dumb question. You know
for
what
sure.
No,
for sure.
No, it's not. It's not a dumb question. I shouldn't say that. Yeah. But what my point is that, you know, because of the ignorance of America, and that's why it's important to keep people like, why are you bringing up the past? Why are you bringing up slavery? Because it's part of our history.
That's
it's
right.
like, why? Why are we bringing
a
up traffic
huge
lights?
Part of our history? Huge part of our history. How do you it's not talk about that?
Important. It's important. Like, yeah, I'm not crying over it.
That's right.
I ain't got no lashes on my back. But if you want,
Jeremy, I cannot believe you just said that right now.
Talk about slavery.
Yeah.
You said what?
I said I cannot believe you just the lashes on your back. I can't. I can't with you.
Right I'm now. Saying like I don't have any lashes on my back, so it's not like you're hurting my feelings by not talking about slavery.
Yeah.
Only thing you're doing is hurting yourself, is my point.
Yeah.
You're hurting, you're adding ignorance to yourself and not acknowledging how this country came to be. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And you were talking about economy and talking about the money in your bank account, you know what I'm saying? And how that affects the economy, how your jobs affect, you know what I mean? How things came to be. I mean, this is important. You got to know where you've been if you know where you're to know in order to know where you're going. Because history has a way of repeating itself.
Yep.
I mean, you know,
it's humans.
Yeah, and the economy's going to shit right now. But with the Harriet Tubman thing, not to get off of it,
yeah.
They mixed the Wakanda thing, which was an African thing that they got from Black Panther, which was invented by a white man. You know what I'm saying? So. It's based off a comic book.
Dude,
that's really weird.
I was embarrassed.
Why would you?
I was embarrassed for the people who came up. Like, who fucking? You know, there were no black people in that room when they approved that fucking image. Like, who the fuck is approving that shit?
That's the ignorance. That's the ignorance of the modern person. I mean, that's not just limited to those people in that room.
I'm not even black, really... and I was offended. I was like, yo, this is like just straight up offensive.
But that's why I try to open it up. It's not a Black American thing. It's an ignorance of it. It's an ignorance of it. It doesn't serve anyone to be that ignorant.
That's right.
It doesn't help anybody. It's not. Like I said, I don't need any pity. You're not helping me by oh, you had it so hard as a Black person. Nah, man. Open your eyes to see the history of our country.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's okay. Honestly, it's okay to mix fiction with reality. But if you don't know the difference, now you're being an idiot.
Yeah.
Harriet Tubman was a real American hero.
Yes, she was.
Black Panther is not.
Black Panther is a fictional character. What?
It's just the same if they were like, let's acknowledge all the important heroes in America. You know, you have Martin Luther King. You have... I don't know. So whoever. And then you have Spider-Man.
Malcolm X. Jeez.
Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln. John F. Kennedy. And Iron Man.
Right. Like, right. Like, exactly. Like, yo, what the fuck?
Like, let's not be stupid.
Exactly. It's fucking stupid. Dude, like, I agree with it. You know what? At least... You know, now they're trying to come up with Miss Marvel, and she's actually a Pakistani character in the Marvel franchise. And they're looking to cast this character. And I was like, man, I wish I was 17. I would love to be Miss Marvel because she she's a Pakistani girl who grows up in Jersey City. That's my entire life. Are you kidding me? I'm a Pakistani girl who grew up in Jersey City.
Well, I mean, when they're casting, you can probably get slip in there for roles. You know what I mean?
I'm just like,
you
can
know,
I play
got something for you?
I'm like, can I play her future? Can I play her future when she just lets herself go? Can I play that part?
Oh, come on, you're being hard on yourself.
When she just doesn't give a fuck
yourself.
About carbs
you're
and sugar
you're a beautiful
anymore.
Woman. You see this person right here?
Aww,
she could cast her.
You're the best, dude. You're so sweet.
She's beautiful.
Aw, you're the best, dude. You're the friggin' best. Now, but we're going to start wrapping up. I know everybody's fucking canceling everything, but do you...
I know.
You got, like, stuff coming up in June, maybe, or July
Man,
we can plug?
I don't know what... Man, to go to jeremyscipio.com, I have to revamp everything. Oh. They canceled the hell out of me. I don't know what's going on. So, yeah, jeremyscipio.com. Besides, I think I actually started blogging lately. Okay. So whenever I do shows or whatever, not only do I have my calendar on there, but I have my blog where I talk about every venue I've been to, people I interact with and stuff.
Yeah.
Awesome.
What else? And we can follow you. Where we can follow you? Are you on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook? Where are you at?
Yeah. On Instagram is at Jeremy Comedy, because I get tired of having to spell my last name to people. But for jeremyscipio.com, it's SCIPPIO.com.
Yep.
For my Vegas residences, I normally perform at the Dirty at 12:30, but I'm actually going to be doing I'm trying to get some shows for Brad Garrett's and Jimmy Kimmel. So I'll let you know about that soon.
Yeah, please do. Please do. Jeremy, you're awesome, man. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us. And this was great, man. This was great. Thank you.
All right. Love you, Mona.
Love you, too.
I know the reports.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. Thank you, Jeremy. You're the best. Guys, this is our episode with the amazing Jeremy Scipio. If you haven't subscribed to our channel, please subscribe to our channel. Please share it. Tag us, if you can, at Minority Reports. We are on YouTube, streaming at all major streaming services. This has been our amazing episode. I'm your host, Mona Sheikh. See you next time.